Well, here we are just about 10 days or so away from Christmas, when we pause to celebrate the birth of our Saviour and to give thanks to God for the good news that is found in Him. Wonder, are you familiar? You've probably heard preachers quote it now and again over the years. Augustine, who lived a very long time ago, I don't have this on the screen, but listen carefully. He once said something like this. He said that the new is in the old, the new revealed. I know, okay, you're saying to me, say that again. The New Testament, the New Gospel, the whatever way you want to look at it. The new is in the old, concealed, and the old is in the new, revealed. Let me put it very simply. Basically, it's saying that the Gospel, whether you turn to the New Testament or the Old Testament, whether you turn to Genesis or Revelation, you will find the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so today, what I want to do, the headings there, is just speak a little bit about what I have called the Gospel according to Jeremiah. You think of the Gospel according to Matthew or Mark or Luke or John, but what about the Gospel according to Jeremiah? What I want to do this morning is just under five little headings. Might as well tell you I've got 5 points, in case you're lulled into a false sense of security by the time we get to number three. Five quite short little points, which in some ways I want to summarize the Gospel as we find it in Jeremiah. But remember, I don't have to say this, but just for clarification, the Gospel according to Jeremiah is the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not some different gospel. It's the same message. So the first heading that I want you to notice this morning in the Gospel according to Jeremiah is a very simple little word, and it's the word sin. I don't know if I've used this quotation before, but have you ever heard of the Reverend Dr. Harcourt? Well, of him it was said, in the pulpit, he eloquently speaks of diverse matters with both wit and clarity, art, education, God, the early Greeks, psychiatry, St. Paul, true Christian charity, vestry repairs that must shortly begin, all things but sin. He seldom mentions sin. Well, that could never be said about Jeremiah. Jeremiah certainly did speak about the fallenness of humanity and the fallenness of the professing people of God. And amongst the many points that are made by Jeremiah in his diagnosis, we go to the doctor for a diagnosis. What's the problem? Well, we go to the scriptures for a diagnosis. What's the problem in our world? And Jeremiah's diagnosis of the human condition, we could spend a long time on this, but I want to make a couple of points, and I don't actually have these on the screen, but just think carefully. Part of the problem was the people's refusal to listen. Well, if you have your Bible open at chapter 3 or 4, there's an example very close. Chapter 5, Jeremiah 5, just glance over to chapter 5 and verse 21. Jeremiah 5:21 says this, hear this, you foolish and senseless people, who have eyes but do not hear, who have ears but do not see, who have ears but do not hear. These people had ears, but they weren't listening. And then, if you want, probably the verse in Jeremiah that sums this up for me the most is, if you want to glance over to chapter 23, chapter 25, Jeremiah chapter 25 and verse 3. Now, I've already referred to this on a previous Sunday. Jeremiah 25 and verse 3 says this, for 23 years, From the 13th year of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah, until this very day, the word of the Lord has come to me, and I have spoken to you again and again, but you have not listened. Isn't that remarkable? For 23 years, Jeremiah brought the word of the Lord, but for 23 years, they would not listen. And it's certainly not the first time that that has happened. So, folks, are you listening? I used to have a lecturer in the degree that I did before I went to study theology. And sometimes in a very large lecture room, when some people, if truth be told, not me, of course, but some people, if truth be told, were not listening, he used to pause. And whenever people copped on that he wasn't speaking, say into the silence, "Are you listening? Are you listening?" Folks, are you listening today? Or if, truth be told, are you actually thinking, well, just another 20 minutes to go and then we get home and we get the potatoes? But are you really listening? Are you listening to this word this morning? Are you recognizing that your lack of listening, maybe for years, is part of the problem? It's part of our sin. We don't listen. We don't listen to the word of God. And the other thing that Jeremiah says, one of the other things that Jeremiah says about our sin is that it is deep-seated. It is deep-rooted. There's a couple of verses here. Again, if you've got your Bible, just glance over to Jeremiah 13. This is actually quite a famous verse. I don't think we've made reference to it yet. Jeremiah 13 and verse 23. Once I start to quote it, you will recognize it. In fact, I remember as a child singing a little chorus. I can't remember the name of the chorus now, but it referenced this. Jeremiah 13 and 23 says this: "Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard its spots? Neither can you do good who are accustomed to doing evil." And that's a very sobering thing that Jeremiah says. Jeremiah is basically saying, look, you have a problem and you're not going to be able to change it in and of yourself. Folks, each and every one of you, do you recognize that you have a problem this morning, a problem of sin? And the bad news is that you cannot change your heart. You cannot do it. In fact, if you want further evidence of that, just glance over a little bit further. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. Again, another very famous verse from Jeremiah. Many a sermon has been preached on this. "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure." Who can understand it? Folks, I wonder, do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that your heart, and I'm not talking physically here, I'm talking about the essential you, that there is something twisted in it that rebels against God. It's a humbling thing to have to admit. But once we admit it, we're on the road to knowing God. That's why we always say that the diagnosis that Christians make of the world, and there are many other people who make a different diagnosis, but the Christian diagnosis, look, I've quoted it, I've had a fiver for every time I quote it, I'll be okay this Christmas. The heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. I wonder, do you really believe that? Do you see that your essential problem today is in your heart? Because it is you have a heart, as I have a heart, that wants to go its own way. And you have a heart, as I have a heart, that cannot change itself. What can wash away my stain? What can wash away my sin? Well, certainly not good works and religion and all that sort of stuff. And we'll get to that. It's no one but God can change your heart. So this is a very deep-seated problem that we all have. And Jeremiah made that very clear. But let me go on. Because as if that wasn't bad enough, and it certainly is, Jeremiah goes on to preach that because of the people's sin and rebellion, there is coming judgment. A bit like the train coming down the track. It is coming, Jeremiah says. So, for example, the passage that we read, if you want to glance back to it, Jeremiah 4 and verse 5 and 6. This is just one of a number of places that I could have quoted. Look at verse 6. Raise the signal to go to Zion. Flee for safety without delay, for I am bringing disaster from the north, even terrible disaster. And that was not just a false promise. That was not just empty rhetoric. The judgment came, and the people were carried off into exile. Folks, this is part of the gospel. You remember John the Baptist? Remember when John the Baptist came preaching, he said something like this. He said, the axe is already at the root of the tree, and every tree that does not produce fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. It was the Baptist's way, John the Baptist's way of preaching judgment. Do you remember the Lord Jesus? Repent or you likewise will perish. Remember the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 1 and 9 and 10, where Paul says, they tell how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven who rescues us from the coming wrath. Folks, let me say something to you. See this point here? The majority of people in our country do not believe this. The majority of people in the United Kingdom do not believe it. They do not believe it. And the reason I know that they do not believe it is that today there are churches half empty, and churches a quarter empty, and churches being closed down because the people do not believe it. And the people of this country, as the people here today, have a choice. They can either follow the way of the crowd that says, oh, don't bother with that sort of thing. I don't believe it for a minute. Those boys are always going on about that. They can either follow that, or they can follow the words of Holy Scripture that say to us very simply, but very pointedly, for it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. I wonder, do you believe it this morning? Do you really believe it? Because if you do, then it will change your life. The third thing that Jeremiah preached, and this is good news. You see how good news is only good news in the context of the bad news? And this is wonderful news. And I'm not going to elaborate on this, but I do want to just make the simple point that in the midst of the bad news of our sin and the coming judgment, the grace of God is an amazingly wonderful message. Where do you find this? Well, if you want to glance over to chapter 31, you will find it. And I know that I referred to this a few weeks ago, but I do not make any apology to refer to it again. Jeremiah 31 and verse 2, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. So even in the midst of this message of sin and judgment, there is a message of grace. I'm not expecting you to put up your hand to this question, but how many of you were at the musical this past week? I'm sure quite a few, and a wonderful musical it was. And the young people of our school and the people from our school deserve our congratulations. And we do pass our congratulations on. So, Ruth, you can pass it on. It was mentioned in the pulpit. But those of you who watched that rendering of Les Mis, there is a wonderful picture of the grace of God. For those of you who weren't there or don't know what I'm talking about, how long have you got? But it's basically the story of a man in France called Jean Valjean, who has been convicted of something and imprisoned, a very small little thing, but the hand of the law has kept him there for years upon years. And then he is set free on a kind of parole. But no one will trust him. No one will give him a chance. And eventually he finds his way to the home of a bishop who gives him food, who gives him a lovely bed to sleep in. But in the middle of the night, Valjean cannot resist taking some of the silverware from the house, and he flees, but he is caught by the long arm of the law. And he is brought back. And the full weight of justice is about to fall upon him. When the bishop says to him and to the police who are there, "Did you forget to take the candlesticks as well? You should take them also. Take them also." What's going on there? It is a picture of redemption. It is a picture of a man getting what he did not deserve. He deserved the judgment. He deserved the punishment. But he got something that he didn't deserve. He got grace. And it changed his life. And it is a picture of the gospel. Folks, do you see this morning? That you and I deserve the judgment. You and I deserve the punishment. You and I deserve hell itself. But Jesus takes it for us. And he gives us what we do not deserve. He gives us grace. He gives us redemption. That is grace. Do you see that? Will you be moved by that? And of course, that then calls us. It calls us to respond. Jeremiah is full of the message of repentance. Grace brings you and me to turn, to change by the grace of God our ways. And the call to turn or to return to God is loud and clear in Jeremiah. Like, if you've got your Bible still open, I'm sure you have, glance back to Jeremiah chapter 3. Again, there's a whole lot of references here that I could give you, but look at chapter 3, for example. Chapter 3 and verse 12. "Return, faithless Israel." Or verse 14, "Return, faithless people." Or verse 22, "Return, faithless people, and I will cure you of your backsliding." If you glance over to chapter 5 and verse 3, it says this: "O Lord, do not your eyes look for truth? You struck them, but they felt no pain. You crushed them, but they refused correction. They made their faces harder than stone and refused to repent." They refused to repent. You know, sometimes there are things in life that we hold on to that we're not willing to let go of. And the whole situation could turn around if we're prepared by God's grace to let go. I love the little story, slightly amusing little story, but it makes the point of a little boy who got his hand stuck in an expensive vase. And his parents and people in the family, they tried all sorts of things to get his hand out of this really expensive vase. And cooking oil was applied and soap was applied and dear knows what was going on. And the last resort was going to be they would have to break the vase. And they didn't want to do that. And at the very last point when they said, well, there's nothing we can do here. We have to break this expensive vase. The little boy became very frightened. And he said, would it help if I let go of the coin that I'm holding? You see, he had seen the thing and he had went for it and got caught. And he wasn't prepared to let it go. And so it is with us sometimes, folks. Sometimes we cause anguish to others and risk what is valuable and risk our eternal welfare because we're not prepared to let go of certain things. How foolish is that? But the time has come, folks, and the time has maybe come for somebody here today to let go of a certain thing and to repent and to turn to God. Jesus went into Galilee, the Gospel of Mark tells us, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, the time has come, repent and believe the gospel. Folks, are you willing to repent? Are you willing, by God's grace, to let go of that thing that is so precious to you, but it's holding you back? Let go of it, I plead with you. And the last thing that I want to mention is just the whole issue of salvation. It is in Jeremiah that we have that famous text, which I preached on a couple of harvests ago, Jeremiah 8 and verse 20. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. That warning from Jeremiah, that warning about putting off salvation. Is that true of you? Here you are, not only is the harvest past, but Christmas is upon us, and you are still not saved. And it is in Jeremiah that we have that wonderful promise. Here's a little verse for you to take home and reflect upon on a Sunday afternoon. Jeremiah 17 and verse 14. It says this, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. Not a lovely text. Jeremiah 17 and verse 14. And here's the last thing that I want you to notice. Because ultimately, Jeremiah says this, and he says it on a couple of occasions. Let me read it to you before I finish. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. A king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Now, who can fill those shoes? None but Jesus. None but Jesus. And so it may be a surprise to some that here in the book of Jeremiah, he preached Christ. He preached the Lord our righteousness. And that ought always to be, if you like, the pinnacle of all preaching. On the 25th day of March 1861, the newly constructed Metropolitan Tabernacle was ready. And the crowds were gathered. And a 26-year-old Charles Haddon Spurgeon stepped into the pulpit and he announced his text. It was Acts 5 and verse 42. Every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that Jesus is the Christ. That was his text that day, and indeed every day. And that ultimately is the text of every preacher. Christ. Christ alone. And so I finish with this. I do finish with this. Have you acknowledged that you are a sinner and that judgment is coming? Do you believe that the grace of God found in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone is able to save you and keep you? Will you repent of your sin and embrace the salvation freely offered in him? That is the gospel. According to Jeremiah, and most importantly, it is the gospel according to Jesus Christ. May God give us wisdom to hear it and to put it into practice. A short prayer. Lord, give us the grace to hear this message, to repent and believe the good news, to experience your amazing grace that is able to save us for life and for eternity. Lord, this is our prayer. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.